Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
We did a lot for the wins. Came in a drop on a 10. Now we on top, top once again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had to tighten the plan. Yeah, I got it right in the end. Now we on top, top once again.
Yo, what up? It is CJ. You're watching Game Day Gridiron. This is episode 3 of season 2 right now. Right now we are very, very, very hyped up. I got another special guest, as you guys could see by the mic right next to me. And for those on the podcast, I got another person coming in to debate me in a little bit. But we're just going to hop straight into it. So we've seen a lot of chaotic things over the weekend, especially in the NFL and in the NBA. Likewise, you know, multiple big trades happened. Some things were rescinded. Some, you know, big things like the Super Bowl happened as well. But right now, in terms of everything that's happening right now, the NFL season is to an end. It's to a close. And right now is free agency. And with free agency and stuff like that comes, you know, big decisions to be made, especially when it comes to the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, when it comes to the Cincinnati Bengals, of all teams, it wasn't really their offense that was a problem this year. It really wasn't. I think Joe Burrow led all quarterbacks in terms of passing yards. He was one of the recipients of the Comeback Player of the Year award. You know, Ja'Marr Chase got a triple crown. The offense was more explosive than it has ever been, pretty much, in the entire Joe Burrow era. The problem this year was the defense, and it was without a doubt. I mean, you can't let up nearly 41 points to the Washington Commanders and expect to win. There's nothing Joe Burrow could practically do in that game. It was like every single time he went off the field, there was a problem with the defense here and there. And especially when it comes to right now in the salary cap era, it's going to be hard to rebuild this defense. And here's why. You have, I think, 3 to 4 crucial re-signs that you have to give to these players. You got Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Travion Hendrickson, and I'm trying to forget their backup running back, but he's also crucial into the offense too as well. I think his name is Chase Edmonds or something like that. But especially those three guys that I listed right before, they are so crucial to the success of this offense. And right now, as it stands, you can't sign all of them. It's impossible because you had all of them this past season. And you guys still missed the playoffs with a loaded offense right now. And the defense, you want to improve his defense, but, you know, it has to be at a cost of somebody. Who that somebody should be, ironically, I think it should be, without a doubt, T. Higgins. I mean, I don't see the man re-signing with y'all anyways. I mean, he could be a top, you know, receiver on any of the other, you know, 32 NFL teams, ironically. He could be a wide receiver one for the Colts. He could be a wide receiver one for potentially the Giants. He could be a wide receiver one for the Bills even. I mean, why in the hell would he stay with the Bengals, have to commit with and compete with Ja'Marr Chase and be on an offense which is very explosive? Yeah, it's going to be explosive, but, like, the defense will never help you win whatsoever. And that's just been a fact all season long, right? It's the reason why they didn't make the playoffs. And the fact that Joe Burrow carried that offense to 9 wins this season with, ironically, I think what is the worst defense in the NFL is crazy. What I feel like, in perspective, they should do, they do have a franchise tag available this offseason. Ironically, I think they won't use it on T. Higgins. Most likely the best answer would be Travion Hendrickson and push his contract maybe further down the line, see how he does next season or something like that. But ironically, T. Higgins won't be getting the tag, if I'm be completely honest with y'all. I think like he's going to hit free agency, test free agency, be a wide receiver one on any other team, like I said. And most crucially, we have to sign Ja'Marr Chase. And what like struggles with me too, with saying that as well, is the fact that they could have signed Ja'Marr Chase last season before C.D. Lamb got his contract extension, before Justin Jefferson got his contract extension as well, before all these wide receivers like A.J. Brown got his contract extension as well, Devontae Smith, I feel like Jalen Waddle, all those guys, you know, of last season got their contract extensions, but the Bengals didn't even move to sign, you know, Ja'Marr Chase. There was this whole thing too about him sitting out in practice and him not, you know, again, participating in practices until he got his contract extension. But obviously he was still on his rookie scale deal, but it kind of hurts because right now he's the Triple Crown leader. You can't pay him basically any, you know, less than what Justin Jefferson got. He probably will get more just because of the fact that you guys waited so long that now this guy that is so crucial to your team and how Joe Burrow runs the offense and stuff like that, the guy who won the Triple Crown, is, you know, testing free agency. And you can't lose him. And I know it sucks, too, because you guys should have done this earlier, but I don't see the Bengals improving at all anytime soon. And that's just being frank with y'all, because the key factor in winning championships is defense. And I'm going to get to that in a little bit too when my guest comes as well. But it's very, very crucial that you have a good defense. Good defenses on any day or any given week basically will always substitute for a good offense. Because a good offense could be great, but they could have a couple missed, you know, drives, couple missed throws, you know, mistakes there. A good defense will carry with you basically for the whole season. Right, it's better to have a great defense than an average offense, per se. And honestly, that should have been the way with the New York Knicks. Why am I calling them the New York Knicks? They've become so irrelevant that I've been calling them the New York Knicks now. But the New York Jets, right, it should have been that way this season. They had an amazing defense. Don't get me wrong. Robert Saleh did an amazing job with those guys, you know, in the earlier part of the season. I will have to say, though, the defense was better underneath Robert Saleh compared to how it was with Jeff, the interim head coach for the Jets. But the blame for the Jets, too, this season, the entire season, actually, was the offense, and more specifically Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he could just not get it going. He looked like a shell of his former self. It seemed like that Achilles tear that he took, you know, over a year ago really got to him and his throwing ability, because he doesn't throw the ball like he used to. You know, Aaron Rodgers used to have, you know, some zip on the ball when he threw it. He used to have some pizzazz, some, you know, sparkle on the ball. Now it doesn't even seem like that no more. Kind of seems like how it is with Kirk Cousins right now after he tore his Achilles, that he can't really throw the ball how he used to. And that's the problem with, you know, Achilles tears. Like, quarterbacks can come back from, you know, ACL tears and, you know, be, you know, dominant as ever. We saw that with Joe Burrow. You know, he has, ever since his rookie year, he's been a dominant, you know, guy in the league ever since. But when it comes to an Achilles tear, it kind of, like, affects the muscle, like, in your throwing form. Because now you have to support more on the balance of your legs and stuff like that, or, like, more on your arms and stuff like that. You know, it's less on, you know, the form of how it is, and more on, like, how you throw it. I think that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense. Just my point is, with all of this, is that with quarterbacks, ACL, other, you know, tears, you know, shoulder tears even, they are possible to come back from. Achilles, not so much. We very much saw that this offseason. Also, Aaron Rodgers' future is also in doubt, because the team actually reported over the last couple of days that he will not be returning to the New York Jets. They are right now looking in a different direction, which is totally understandable. They changed their entire front office, entire coaching staff as well. And usually when it comes to new coaching staffs and stuff like that, they normally don't stick with the guy that the old organization used to have. I mean, that's what happened with Russell Wilson. Once, you know, his old head coach that was friends with Aaron Rodgers, I don't even remember his name. He's the offensive coordinator for the New York Jets, but he got fired, and then Sean Payton came in, and after one season, he was just done with, you know, Russell Wilson. He said, hey, I want to go after my guy. I want to get my own QB, and right now, I don't feel like, you know, Russell Wilson is the answer, which is completely fine. And with Aaron Rodgers, they just don't believe he's the guy. But, you know, at this point, I don't see them having any better options. Like, let's be honest. Let's be for real here. Who else is going to be better over Aaron Rodgers? I mean, Kirk Cousins? I mean, maybe you could miraculously draft up in the NFL draft to get maybe Shador Sanders or Cam Ward potentially. Or maybe you could get a sleeper in the second or third round with, you know, Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe. It honestly depends, but I don't really see a quarterback right now that would be better than Aaron Rodgers and how he normally is. And then when it comes to your backup QBs, I mean, you can't really go anywhere with Tyrod Taylor. I'm sorry. He's a valuable, you know, backup guy in case, you know, stuff hits the fan. But you also can't depend on him. You can't depend on Jordan Travis either to lead your team to success. At least not this early. He can't start after just one season, y'all. But it honestly looks like very sad for what the Jets' future had in mind. I mean, they had all the tools. I'm going to be honest. They had all the talent in the world. They had potentially all the coaching in the world. But the coaching shouldn't have been a problem anyways. I mean, you had – look at the defensive side of the ball. You had Quinnen Williams. You added good talents in the draft in Sauce Gardner. You got a good wide receiver in the first round, you know, in Garrett Wilson. Both him and Sauce Gardner were, you know, rookie defensive player of the year and offensive, you know, rookie of the year. They were both, you know, great team captains. C.J. Mosley was another guy that was very, very good, you know, in that linebacker room. You had Quinnen Williams, like I said earlier. He's a dominant threat. You had a good offensive line. I mean, they made it an absolute priority to defend Aaron Rodgers and defend his protection as much as possible. They drafted Olufoshanu. They got guys within free agency. They got Tyron Smith, I believe, as well through potentially a trade or a free agency. I don't know. But they added all these tools, man. And then on wide receiver, they even did more. They got him his, you know, best friend wide receiver in Davante Adams. They got Mike Williams. They got all these guys that they honestly didn't really need, but they wanted to add just so Aaron Rodgers is ready. It was all resting on his shoulders, man. It was all resting on Aaron Rodgers to take them to the promised land. Obviously, we know how that turned out. Sorry, Jet fans, but honestly, how it looks right now, you either have two options. You either blow this entire thing up or you try and find a new quarterback and make it work. Because it's very sad that you have all these, you know, players on a rookie scale contract. And many players are on, you know, low fitting contracts to them compared to what the salary cap is. And now you can't even, you know, fathom, like, having to pay these players now and not having the benefit of all these rookies on all these rookie scale contracts too. And it's like, really, what if they had a good quarterback this season? That's going to be the biggest what if for the New York Jets, man. And honestly, I don't see it, you know, improving anytime soon with Aaron Glenn as well. He's a defensive coach, basically. He's made to, you know, succeed Robert Saleh in some way, and that really helps the defense. I'm not gonna lie, that really does help the defense. But compared to the offense, I don't know really about that, man. I don't know. I just don't like it, if I'm gonna be honest with y'all.
I feel like LA lost the trade.
LA lost a trade.
Yeah, but at this current moment, since AD is out, I guess they won the trade.
They won the trade, okay.
Because AD got hit by the ghost, and his abdomen is just not working, apparently.
Oh, yeah. I mean, oof.
And Luka, his debut, I think he had 14 points, about, like, 5 assists, 6 assists, and, like, 4 rebounds. Decent start. LeBron was very excited. He had on his jersey in the workout. A little glazed, but it's fine. But, yeah, they put up, like, I think, like, 39 points together, like, 37 points together. Yeah.
In total, 120-plus points. I mean, that's not to say that, you know, there's still some holes in the team, especially in the front court, bro.
That's what I was about to say. If AD wasn't injured right now, they would have lost that trade. But AD is currently injured, so I guess it turned out for the best. But they have no – they're leaving their big man assignment up to Jackson Hayes, who is a very decent player right now. He's been holding his own for the past 2-3 games, and he's been proving that he can play that spot by himself. But the Mavs, though, they didn't really need Luka anymore. Luka wasn't showing much compassion towards the team or whatever they were trying to say about him.
They tried to say that, you know, he wasn't working out, right?
Yeah. And they got one of the best big men in the league, or the best big man in the league, but his problem is that he just can't stay healthy, which is a very big problem.
So, like, who would you say won the trade, Ben, since you're kind of making points for both sides?
If everyone, like, at the time when everybody was healthy, or, like, when they were both injured, and it, like, we didn't know how long they would be out for, and after seeing AD's performance when they played I forgot who they played. I think they played the Kings.
Yeah, I think they played Sacramento.
Yeah, they either played the Kings or someone else. But he had a really good performance. He had, like, 26 points. He had a double-double. If he didn't get injured in that third quarter, he would have definitely had a triple-double. I think he was, like, 3 assists or 3 rebounds away. It was probably 3 assists. But, yeah, he had a very good performance his first debut. And I feel like with Luka, it's just – they just still got to find their way. The Lakers got to make sure that they could, that Jackson Hayes can still handle that role at being at the big position.
That's true. I mean, we're also trying to test, you know, what's called the buyout market to see any centers on that.
Yeah.
You got, like, Daniel Feiss, I'm pretty sure, Mo Bamba.
Oh, yeah, some, Mo Bamba, yeah.
Like, some good veteran, you know, role players potentially in that front court. But I talked about this with Dylan last week. In terms of, like, the entire trade and stuff like that, when you look at it in the short term, right, when now, yeah, the Mavericks may have won in that term, like, in a 1 to 2 year span. But anything, like, past that, bro, the Lakers have won this trade clearly.
It's, yes, the Lakers won the long-term benefits, but we don't know how long-term it will be because they – basically made that trade for LeBron, and if LeBron's not there, it's just going to be Luka, and it's just going to look like just like how LeBron was there by himself but without AD, and it's just going to be Luka, like, literally by himself.
I mean, I think they're going to kind of, like, bank on the idea that LeBron's coming back for hopefully a couple more years. I don't know how true that is.
I think LeBron got, like, 2-3 years left in him, 2 or 3.
I mean, he looking dominant as ever, bro. 42, you know, the game before this, 27-6-5, I think, in this one against the Jazz. So he's looking amazing, at least from what I'm seeing. Of course, we don't know how long it's going to be for. Mm-hmm. Obviously, father time is inevitable, but I don't know. If LeBron, it just seems like he could do this, honestly, until his next son comes into the league, which is kind of crazy, bro. Which, you know, speaking on that, you know, what do you think they're going to do with, you know, Bronny? And even Bryce when he comes to the league, because, you know.
I think that Bryce James is better than Bronny James.
Which is not crazy to say. I'm not going to lie.
I believe it.
But what, you got to give me a reason, though. You got to give us, you know.
Bronny made one for one. Made it to the league just because his last name is James. that's the first reason. Mm-hmm. I've never seen an NBA player that came from college getting drafted into the NBA only averaging 2 points a game. There was someone who went undrafted that scored six times as many, that averaged six times as many points as him and went undrafted.
Which is crazy, bro.
Yeah. Bryce James has also proven that he can do much more at a higher level than Bronny James. He's done way more. He's been doing way more.
Yeah, they say he's the best shooter in his family, which if you look at his shooting form and everything like that, he has. Problem is with with Bryce especially, his development hasn't gone nearly as fast as it would with, you know, Bronny. Mm. So that's the one negative you could see about him. But, like, in terms of his, like, size, bro, like, he's already 6'6". He's, like, 200-something pounds. And, you know, he's a generally big guy. And he's able to dunk and, you know, attack the rim. And he has all that talent.
Very good IQ, too.
He has good IQ, too. Like, he's like his dad, basically.
I feel like LeBron just... to like threw Bronny into the NBA just so like he could get that one like thing that like the first father son duo to ever like touch the floor,
which like, is iconic, but you know
it is iconic, but like you also gotta think that like his son is not like ready for the NBA yet. That's why they keep throwing him back and forth between the G League and the NBA, but it is what it is. Like he should have took like the Carmelo Anthony approach with Kai and Anthony, like making sure that his son has his own path, his own everything, just to go to the NBA. And he could take his time. If he has to spend 3-4 years in college, he says so be it. And if he wants to spend 2 years in college, then he could go into the NBA, then so be it. But he has to at least develop his game and fully develop it instead of just getting thrown into the NBA just automatically.
I mean, we got to remember, too, that he came back from a cardiac arrest
in March of that year. I do remember that.
So you can't really put all the blame on him too much for that because he came from something that most athletes, like, would be done after. But, like, at the same time, like you said, I've never seen an athlete get drafted mainly because of who their father is, which is insane. But... I mean, that's the power that, you know, LeBron had in the Lakers GM offense.
Yeah.
Office, of course. And
because he told them that, like, if my son doesn't get drafted by us, I'm going to the Warriors.
He really said that?
Yeah.
I didn't even know he said that. I thought he said, like, you know, I'll go to whatever team signs my son. But, like, I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah, that too. He also did say that. But he was probably going to go to the Warriors.
Honestly, and then we saw that Jimmy Butler trading everything just.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler, he already putting on. They came back down. I think they was down like 20-some, 30-some points to the Bulls, and they were able to come back off that, and they were able to win by a good amount too.
I mean, you're pairing up Jimmy Butler with Steph Curry. Butler's, you know, like the playmaker type guy and the defensive guy like that. Clay kind of was, and then Steph's a shooter, obviously.
Yep.
He's just it's so beautiful to watch. He also looks unguardable, too, man. Like, how old is he, 36?
Who, Curry?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 36.
36, bro. I mean, people talk about LeBron's longevity, bro, but Steph is going to be amazing for years to come because it doesn't rely on his, you know, physicality.
He's just a shooter.
The greatest shooter of all time. Not just a shooter, bro. The greatest. Oh, man.
The greatest. My GOAT.
Your GOAT, too? Your GOAT, seriously? Yeah,
that's my GOAT, bro.
Oh, that's kind of wild now, bro. I'm not going to lie.
They keep calling my GOAT Wash. They keep calling him everything else. But he's had, I'm pretty sure, yesterday made his third game back-to-back where he had at least 30 points.
Which is impressive, but still, I'm kind of pondering at the GOAT comment, bro. Like, maybe for, are you talking about point guards or are you talking about all time?
That's my GOAT all time, bro. That's my GOAT all time.
I don't know about that. The MJ and LeBron fans are going to be like.
That's my GOAT, bro.
They're not going to be bumping that, man.
It is. We determine the game of basketball, and we determine, like, who's best, not just based off of individuality, but based off the teams, who wins championships, because that's the point of the game, to win championships. And against who, it also matters. LeBron has lost to Curry, what, 3 times in the finals. Curry has beat him 3 times in the finals.
Bro, you forgot something. That was when they had Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant was what, 1 year?
No, he was there for 2 years, 2017.
I know, he was there for 2 years, but he only played LeBron 1 year, right?
No, he played them both 2 years, my mistake. He played 3 years there until 2019, when he played against the Raptors.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he played them both times 2 years, the 2 years before that. And, bro, there's nothing you could do about that. It was unguardable.
Curry has also shown that he can win with and without KD. And KD has shown that he can win with Curry, but he can't win with Curry. I mean, win without Curry.
Which, honestly, I saw rumors, too, online, which KD said that he didn't want to go back to the Warriors. But yeah, he put in a trade for him.
Oh, yeah. I didn't expect it to go through either, you know?
He just didn't want to go there.
It is what it is. KD didn't want to be over here. He ain't want to win another ring, apparently, so... It is what it is.
No, but I feel like it's because he didn't want to live in the stigma that he needed Curry all of his career. So even if he did win another championship, they're still just going to say, oh, you only did it with Curry.
It's true, though. But it's true. He couldn't beat them. He couldn't beat them when they didn't have him. Like in OKC, when he had Russ, James Harden, and Serge Ibaka, all those great players. He couldn't beat them in the Western Conference Finals. They blew a 3-1 lead, I believe, in the Western Conference Finals to the Warriors. And he just proved that, like, he needed Curry, man. Like, and then Curry showed that, like, even with his team at their worst, with just Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, who were not bad players at all, but, like, that's probably, like, the worst his team was out of all those four rings. And, like, he proved in 2022 that, like, he could still get a ring no matter what.
That's true. You make a solid argument, I'm not going to lie. But I still kind of feel like it's in MJ's realm. Or either one of MJ or LeBron's realm. But that, you make a solid argument. I'll give you that, bro.
But he's definitely in the top three.
Definitely. No doubt. He actually isn't. I feel like he solidly has an argument. Not the perfect argument, but he has an argument nonetheless.
Yes.
But what about the other trades? I mean, obviously we went over Jimmy Butler and his trade there, but, like, what about De'Aaron Fox's trade? That was interesting.
I didn't expect that at all.
At all? Really? Why not?
I
mean, you kind of knew Zach LaVine was going to get lifted at some point, and De'Aaron Fox said he wanted out, but I didn't know it was going to be like this.
I actually didn't know De'Aaron Fox said he wanted out.
He wanted out, yeah.
But the trade, it was a pretty decently even trade, you know, franchise player for franchise player. I felt like the Kings still won that trade because Malik Monk, I'm pretty sure he won Sixth Man of the Year once. He's also shown that at that starting point guard position, he can be very good at the position. Yesterday, they were in a very tough matchup against the Mavs. I don't know how it was that tough because there was no AD. There was no PJ Washington. There was no Daniel Gafford for, like, most of the game because he only played, like, 11 minutes and got injured. And it was just, like, other players just there. And long story short, I put in a parlay.
Parlay, what do you put in?
I put $50 on the Bulls. No, let me think. The Kings to, I bet on the Kings to beat the Mavs. And I got to figure out what other team.
I feel like the Kings won over the Mavs in that game, but, you know, double check if you see what game King, I could bet.
Yeah, I bet on the Kings. And I bet on the Hawks.
King and
the Hawks to beat the Magic. pretty decent game. They won by 6. It was a little close, but yeah. And the Kings won in overtime, but I cashed out early because I thought I was going to lose my bread once again. So I only won $7 when I could have won $200-some. Yeah, I was pretty mad.
What do you put down total?
I put down $50.
Oh, yeah, like you said. Oh, that would have hurt.
It did hurt.
Oh, my God.
It did hurt, you know. But as I was watching that game, it shouldn't even have been that close. DeMar DeRozan, there was like 11 seconds left. There was no shot clock, and he just took a shot. And that sent the game
to overtime.
No, I didn't send it to overtime. They went down, scored a layup or something like that, and then he came back, got the ball, and made a floater or whatever. Stepped through, through two defenders, floater. And, yeah, that's how they won the game. I didn't think they was going to win, and they ended up winning. So, yeah.
Which is
it's very unfortunate.
It was unfortunate. You could have won $250, fam. Yeah, imagine what. I would be salty.
I am, bro. I still am. But back to that trade, though. The Mavs, they definitely won that trade because – I mean, not the Mavs. What am I saying? The Kings. The Kings definitely won that trade. Uh-huh. They had a backup point guard, Malik Monk. I trust him at the point guard position. Pretty good facilitator. He usually doesn't get a lot of turnovers like that. And the Spurs, on the other hand, they're like it's like the Kings barely won. And the Spurs, they were able to get a score at the point guard position, De'Aaron Fox, but he could also facilitate, playmake. And then they also have a veteran point guard who just is really a playmaker, Chris Paul. He could facilitate a lot. And then pairing them up with Wemby and all the other assets that they have on the floor is a pretty decent team. Very, very good team. They could easily go to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, they've done a great job rebuilding that roster, too, bro. I mean, when it came time to draft Victor Wembanyama, you obviously got a generational player. Yeah. And then immediately, bro, they started giving him assets after his first season, after he started turning into a superstar.
Yeah.
Like you said, added Chris Paul, then De'Aaron Fox, a fish trade. I mean, honestly, do you think they have potential to reach maybe the Western Conference Finals, maybe? You know, semifinals. What do you
I feel like they have to get through a couple of teams before they get there. Mm. I feel like they can definitely like make it past the second, make it past the first round, mm-hmm. into the second round, and they might stop there. Cause in that Western Conference, there's a lot of teams you got to get through. You got to get through OKC. You got to get through Memphis, cause Memphis is now one of the deepest teams in the league. They have very good bench, very good starters, and everything. Who else?
You gotta worry about the Nuggets and Jokic, obviously.
Nuggets, but Nuggets been on BS lately. They've been losing to, like, they lost to the Wizards one time. They've been losing to Trailblazers a lot, but Trailblazers are actually picking up speed right
they
now.
Are?
They've been doing very good.
Problem is, they don't got shooting like they used to.
Yeah.
So, we also got the Lakers you got to worry about. You got to worry about the, like, you know, they had a good game. I'm not going to say definitely, but.
They could definitely, they probably got, but they could beat, the Spurs can beat the Lakers. The Spurs
potentially. We'd have to see, but obviously OKC, I mean, probably most dominant team in the Western Conference.
And, Hartenstein was holding it down while Chubb was out. He was doing a great job, Shea. It was going on a streak, 30 points every game.
MVP type run?
Yeah, MVP. Looking like James Harden when he went on that month where he was like averaging 40. He was averaging 40 for a month. And Shea was doing that too. Another player that's been carrying the load too is Tyrese Maxey, bro. He's a dog, bro.
He is. I mean, on the 76ers, you talking about Tyrese?
And like, nobody can guard him, but like, he gets it from James Harden, who was his mentor when he was on the 76ers.
Which is true. I mean, but aren't the Sixers having a bad season?
They are having a bad season, but I'm just naming players who, like, just standing out, even though, like, things are going bad for them, you know?
Which is true. I mean, what about the Eastern Conference? You've been talking about a lot about the Western Conference, but I want to hear some of the teams that you got.
in the Eastern Conference, there's a lot of good teams. So you got the Cavs, the Celtics, the Knicks are starting to pick up. You got the Pacers too, pretty decent team. In the East, let me think. Who else?
I mean, there's not a lot of teams you can note about, like, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, you talked about the Celtics. You talked.
Poof.
The Bucks, obviously.
Oh, yeah, the Bucks when Giannis is doing his thing, of course. Mm-hmm. Damian Lillard has also been playing pretty well, even though Giannis isn't there. He had, like, 30-some points last night, I believe. Yeah. He's been doing very good.
They're great when they play. I'll give you that. It's just availability. That's a problem.
Yeah, of course.
But with all that being said, like, I want to know your picks for the finals, right? And
like, who I got going to the finals?
Yeah, who you got going?
I would love
right now at this time in the season.
At this time of the season, I would love to see OKC versus Cavs.
OKC versus Cavs? You mean both number one seeds?
Yeah, I would love to see that. But to be realistic, I believe that somehow someone in the East is going to beat the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals. But I believe that OKC can bring it home all the way, because nobody's guarding Shea. Chet is back. Hartenstein is very good five.
You got Jalen Williams too, I believe.
Yeah, J-Dub, very good player. And their bench is also just, it's amazing.
It's amazing, and they have picks for years to come too. So if they want to make changes or add another superstar, I mean, they could practically do it.
They could do whatever they want.
Which is the biggest benefit of the Paul George trade, is that they got all these draft picks until 2030, and they don't got to worry about nothing. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those are some good picks. I would pick OKC, honestly, and then a rematch with the Boston Celtics, mainly because of their defense, which has been amazing. I think it's top five in the NBA this year. And then on offense, I mean, you can't double-team, you know, Jason Tatum and leave, like, Jaylen, you know, Brown one-on-one. And even then, you got Drew Holiday to worry about, Kristaps Porzingis maybe on the outside as a big man, you know, deep threat. So, you know.
Yeah.
They have potential to go all the way.
Yeah, they do. They do.
They definitely do.
I wouldn't put it past them.
Wouldn't at all. I mean, that's great. But what about March Madness? We're getting close.
March Madness?
It's only like 3 weeks away, man.
I honestly don't watch college basketball.
You don't watch college basketball? Not even during March Madness time?
March Madness time, of course, I'll watch it. You know, very entertaining. One of the biggest spotlights in the world, you know, for basketball, especially college. But, yeah, it's like I don't really watch it like that. I should start watching it more, you know, but I'm not really too much into college basketball, you know.
You're more of like an NBA person to watch pro, which is respectful. It's respectful, but, like, at the end of the day, everybody does the brackets. I'm going to be honest. I feel like everybody, even if you don't, you
know, I only did a bracket one time.
One time?
Last year, like, in my senior year.
Okay.
I didn't know who to pick, so I was just fucking filling that shit out randomly. So I didn't have no knowledge at all. So I was just putting down what I thought, and I had a decent bracket, you know.
You know, I actually got the two winners right. I didn't get the perfect bracket, but I got the two winners. I put down South Carolina for women's, and then I put men's UConn, and they both ended up winning. So that was great. Obviously, getting like a perfect bracket, that's like less of a chance than like winning a lottery, I think. So, I mean, but I got the two winners. I'm proud about that. This year, probably saying though, I would probably go with like, I think USC for women's, bro, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know Juju Watkins?
Oh, yeah, Juju Watkins. She's tough.
She's insane, bro. Yeah, plus, she got tough. All that depth. I think Riri Jenkins, I'm pretty sure it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. She's a good, you know, small forward for them, too. She's been having a dominant season. And even LSU, bro, with Flajie Johnson. She also has a podcast Flajie, in Overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's also, too. She's been a dog as well, so. Those two on the women's side are great. On the men's side, I mean, how could you not go against Cooper Flagg,
bro. Oh yeah, Cooper Flagg. He's gonna go first pick in the draft. Definitely,
bro. He's gonna be a superstar, bro.
Yeah, he really is.
Lord and behold, bro.
Even during that the USA Olympics time, they said he was a problem. Even the NBA players saying he's a problem.
Pro athlete saying that bro is a problem, bro. That's gonna be when he gets to the league. It's gonna be, you know, devastating.
Weird.
I wonder who's gonna get the number one pick.
I feel like someone's gonna get the number one pick, but then they might like trade him to another team, like how they usually do.
That's what you would like. Trade Cooper Flagg to another team.
No, but like you know how they have to like swap.
Oh, like pick swaps or something.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's what they do.
But who has a pick swap this year?
I don't know yet, but I feel like some team is gonna get one probably.
Probably, you're right about that. Okay. But, yeah, those are probably my, you know, picks at least for the men's and women's brackets. You know, that's, you know, good to see about. And it's so chaotic because any team can win. And, like, do you know if any other person has, like, filled out a perfect bracket at all? Mm-hmm. Or, like, no? That's just, like, unheard of, bro.
That's your date.
Yeah, that's completely unheard of. I feel like I'm missing something too, bro. I was gonna talk about NFL free agency, bro.
I don't really keep up with that.
You don't keep up with it? Nope. Damn. I mean, like, there's some teams that you gotta know that have been doing bad and like need some key pickups. You don't have to know exactly the players.
I remember there was some players that were moving into free agency though. I might be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think Stephon Diggs is a person that's doing that. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, obviously they're going to be traded. But I talked about this earlier before you came, that the Bengals might be screwed, bro.
Yeah, especially if they lose that that duo with Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase have been on the same team since college.
Yeah.
They have so much chemistry together. That's why... In my opinion, they're, like, the best duo, like, wide receiver, quarterback duo in the league right now.
And I don't think Joe Burrow lives, like, within reality at all, dog, because, like, he signed that big contract extension, I think, last year, maybe the year before that, where he's, like, a top five highest-paid QB in the NFL, and he says he wants the Bengals to get everybody else. When he took up this big contract, I just don't understand why he didn't at least take a, you know, pay cut or something like that, because now you have to sign Jamar Chase when you could have done it last year, right? Before CD got his contract extension, before Justin Jefferson got his contract extension, before all the wide receiver twos got theirs as well. And then you got T. Higgins, who could be a wide receiver one on any other team, right? And then Travion Hendrickson is arguably the best edge rusher in the entire NFL.
Yeah.
And he's on the worst defense in the NFL. So, like, they're kind of screwed. They don't have, you know, that big of money. They don't have New York Yankees money. So, like, I don't know what they're going to do, if I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. It's a tough spot to be in right now.
Yeah, and they didn't even make the playoffs, even with Joe Burrow's and Jamar Chase's miraculous season.
Yeah.
So... It's really like, what are you going to do at this point?
One guy I'm excited to watch next year, like Jaden Daniels.
Oh, he had an amazing year, bro.
Well-deserved rookie of the year. Well-deserved.
He went from the number two overall pick all the way to the Western Conference Finals, bro, in his first year. And lost to the Super Bowl champions. I think that's a success of the year.
It is. You know, he took that team off from being off the map and put them on the map, you know, let them be heard. They beat the Detroit Lions, who had a stacked team, you know. They had that crazy offense with Jahmyr Gibbs, very fast player, very great running back. And then you got David Montgomery, just a powerhouse, run through anybody. Then you got you got Jared Goff. One of the best, like, an accurate throwers. He be throwing 16 for 16 in the first quarter, first half, and just be going nuts. Amon-Ra St. Brown, J. Will, I think that's the name, like,
Yeah, Jameson Williams.
Yeah, Jameson Williams.
You know, a fast guy, bro.
Very fast. All right. And Sam Laporta, too. Very good. Very good tight end.
And they have one of the best O-lines in the league, too, bro.
Yeah. And then their defense, just it also gets good, too. They got very good corners out there. And D linemen, too. Good rushers.
And they didn't even have Aiden Hutchinson this year.
Yeah,
A bunch of their, like, key defensive players were out this year, too, yeah, bro. And the both of their coordinators also left. So it's going to be...
Dan Campbell, man. Very, very good coach. Very good coach.
He is. I would love to play under a guy like him. Him and Mike Tomlin, bro. Like, are you serious? They're, like, the type of coach you'd love to play under, man. Yeah. I mean, even though they lost both their coordinators, Ben Johnson went to the Chicago Bears, I think, and then Aaron Glenn went to the Jets. So,
yeah,
we're gonna rebuild, though. We're gonna be back, definitely.
Yeah, but sure. I feel like the Lions, if they don't make that mistake again, you know, they definitely going. They definitely win. What are they, in the AFC? Yeah, the AFC.
No, not the NFC.
They're in the NFC. Yeah, they're definitely winning the NFC championship next year, and they could potentially go to Super Bowl too and win.
Potentially,
that team is very stacked. They weren't supposed to lose that game, but it happens.
I honestly feel like Jared Goff lost them that game. Like, he's a good player, don't get me wrong, but, like, when it counts, he just, like, is not there.
Yeah. All that stuff before to get you there doesn't matter. It's what happens there and after.
Exactly. That's all that matters, man.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, next season I feel like it's going to be a fire season, especially after the draft, which, by the way, who do you think is going to be the most notable player of the next draft?
Travis Hunter, of course.
Travis Hunter.
Yeah, Travis Hunter. I want to see him, like, make history, you know. Because in college, I don't watch college football a lot, but I'll just go around, watch the highlights or whatever, and his, like, the stuff that he does is just unhuman, like, to see that what he does and, like, the amount of times that, like, he's always in the right spot at the right time, because his knowledge at cornerback helps him with his knowledge at wide receiver, and his knowledge being a wide receiver helps him with his knowledge at being a corner, and it's crazy. But I want to see him prove people wrong, saying that, like, he can't play both sides of the ball, like, for that many snaps in the NFL, because they believe that it's just a grown man sport. But I feel like he could definitely do that, though, you know. He could do it in college, but I know college and NFL are, like, very two different leagues. But they always do the comparison, like, imagine having to guard Tyreek Hill when you're on defense, and then after that you get a stop or whatever, and you have to go ahead and go against Jalen Ramsey. But I feel like he'd get it done, you know? He'd get it done for sure.
He definitely would. A lot of people have him as cornerback one, and then they're going to, like, have him in the offensive game as wide receiver 3 or 4.
Yeah.
That's what they're getting from, you know, some NFL scouts. But I'm excited to see what he's going to do. And
I feel like he would be good for the market as, like, a wide receiver, you know, because everyone wants to, like, be a wide receiver or, like, play offense at least, you know, because that's the market, where the market is at the highest compared to cornerback. But he's probably going to be, like, put into the draft as a wide receiver, and then they'll probably give him, like, packages for a corner. That's what they've been saying, at least. But I feel like he's definitely going to do some great things. Cam Ward going to do some great things.
Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, Shedeur Sanders, too. They all going to do great things. I like this draft class, you know.
I really do. And the thing with Travis, too, bro, that's funny, is that ever since he won that Heisman, man, he started a whole wave with athletes across the nation, guys in the NFL, saying that they want to play both sides. You know, wide receivers are now want to play deep. DB, and, you know, DBs want to play wide receiver, so.
He did get snubbed for some of those awards, like how you win Heisman and – or, like, yeah, how you win Heisman and then you can't, like, win the best DB award or corner award. I forgot what it was called, but he had, like, the best stats in every category for corner, and they just didn't give it to him, and they gave it to someone below him. But he wasn't supposed to win that. He wasn't supposed to win those awards, at least.
Yeah, he didn't even. I mean, he was a finalist for maybe the wide receiver award. I don't know what it was, but, like, he was a finalist for that and still didn't win it.
For the wide receiver, yeah. That too is bad, very bad.
And like,
but you could win Heisman, so, and you played both, so.
It was just because he was, like, you know, good at both of the things he did. He wasn't the best, but, like, he was good at both of the things he was. Which people were arguing, you know, Ashton Gentry had a better year than him and that he should have won Ashton Heisman. Gentry.
It's different because at the running back position, there's a lot of times where you're going to get the ball. Like, there's a lot of times where you're going to play a lot of snaps and you're going to get the ball a lot. Mm-hmm. At the running back position, a wide receiver, you might not always be open. You may not ever get open. You have to also hope. It's a two-man job with the running back position, so it's really just like a one-man job after you get the ball, and you just. But you're also obviously being helped by your O-line. But, like, after you get the ball, like, it's just you just running. Wide receiver, you got to work with your quarterback and everything like that. But running back, you also do have to work with your own lineman and everything. But, like, you're going to get the ball more times than not and in an easier fashion, too, with just, like, a handoff.
Very true. I mean, would you say, you know, Travis should have won the Heisman then? Like, yeah, or Gentry should have gotten it his way?
He definitely, like, it's obviously, like, very, like, tough decision, you know, because you got – Then, like, Ashton Gentry break Barry Sanders, like, record for rushing
yards. I think he won the single season rushing yard record.
He beat that. But, like, you know, for someone who played – he only played one position. You know, for someone that plays both positions on both sides, the ball is rarely thrown his way. And if it is thrown his way, it's either a knockout or interception. And then to go on the other side – and be a wide receiver and get those amount of snaps and play at an efficient level on both sides without, like, having to worry about being tired or anything like that. It's just something great that, like, they've never seen before. So they have to give the Heisman a sin like they've never seen before. They've seen something like Ashton Gentry with Barry Sanders, but you never seen anything that Travis Hunter has done before.
And it's kind of sad because I feel like in the other years, in any other year, Ashton Gentry would have won it, which, you know, is a testament to how good he is. Like, he would have won it probably last year with Jayden Daniels or even the year before that when Caleb Williams won his award. So,
yeah,
I definitely believe he would have been a guy that would have won those last two. But
yeah, he should have, like, you know, if he does what he does again this year, well, actually he's not going to do it again because he's getting drafted. But if he was to do another year, he would probably win the Heisman Award. And if he did that same performance again, you know.
Yeah. Last topic I want to talk about, you know a little bit about the WNBA?
Maybe not really. Not a lot. Like, I don't have much knowledge, but, like, I know some of the players, you know.
Some of the players. I mean, do you know some of the players coming into the draft class maybe at all? Or, like, even just the most notable ones? Like,
let me think.
I mean, you got, you know, Buckers out of UConn.
Oh, yeah, Paige Buckers. Yeah, she's really nice. I've been watching her since she was in high school.
Yeah, me too. She's my favorite player, though. So she definitely is deserving of that. But definitely Paige. Her teammate, Azzy, might declare as well. I'm trying to remember what her name is. It's the girl Riri out of USC, I think. If you want, I could probably get you the 2025 list right now, and you could probably see. I don't know.
Yeah,
right? Which is fine, like I said, but I think Buckers is at the top, and Olivia Miles, who is out of Notre Dame, And then the Chicago Sky have the fifth overall pick. They could get Sonia, who I think is from Notre Dame as well, along with Hidalgo. And if you look at the rest of the list right here, right, you got the Mystics with Dominique Malgano. Obviously, Vario. It's Kiki, not Riri, sorry.
Okay.
And then what is another one? Shane Sellers, she's been going off too from Maryland.
Yeah,
too.
I don't know.
You don't know any people on this list?
Only Paige Buckers.
Paige Buckers, which is incredible too. But yeah, I mean, how do you think that's gonna turn out for the Wings then? You know, I'm not gonna ask, you know, the entire depth.
I do know like one of the players on the Wings, who are pretty good.
Reek, I think.
Yeah, Rike. Rike, that's what they call her. Very good three-point shooter. She'd be just lighting it up from anywhere. You know, she'd be doing her thing. And I've watched some of the WNBA games, but yeah, they've been doing their thing. You know, Caitlin Clark, she's been doing her thing. Rookie, I think she won Rookie of the Year, right?
She did win Rookie of the Year.
Angel Reese, you know, very good rebounder, but. She do be, like, just stat padding with her own rebounds, you know. But
and then just putting it back up.
Yeah, it is what it is, though. You know, you got to get how you live, bro. So
I mean, if Shaq did that, I feel like nobody would say nothing, though. I'm not going to lie. Let's be honest.
Yeah, but it's because Shaq probably made his on, like, the first two attempts or something like that, you know. But
true. I mean, I saw a clip one time where she shot 7 in a row and just kept on rebounding.
It is what it is, bro. She says a hard league. I believe, you know, fair. You know.
Well, it's not going to be a testament to anybody, but, like, yeah. She does kind of do it. So I'm not gonna play with you on that one. But,
I don't mind, you know. It is what it is, you know.
It is what it is. And regardless, I feel like their draft class is going to put, you know, stamp on the league. Like, yeah. Caitlin Clark especially, bro.
Yeah. She's going to do some great things, you know.
She is, bro. The league is going to be good for years to come. And I'm only asking that because of the fact that I'm trying to go in that, right? It's the whole reason why I started this podcast. It's the whole reason why, you know, I talk about women's sports every single time on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually getting invited to an interview with Overtime, the women's basketball, you know, team. So, you know, that's why I was asking today. It's apparently National Women's Sports Day.
Oh, it is? Okay. Shout out to all the women that play sports.
Yeah, they ballers. And I'm hoping to get an internship with them soon. But
well, Overtime?
Yeah, Overtime. They have a headquarters in Brooklyn, I believe.
It's very good.
It is.
Good to hear, bro.
I mean, I definitely want to do it, bro. It's nobody's doing it, too. Like, you don't know a single person that's, like, actively doing it. Like, for the NBA, you got, you know, Stephen A. Smith, you know. Uh-huh. Max Kellerman when he was there, but you got those guys, and then in the NFL you got a ton of guys like Tom Brady, you got like Rob Grant, you got all these former players on their side, and like when it comes to women's sports, nobody's like really doing it like that. Like,
yeah,
we'll be honest with you. So I
but their recognition will come. Their time will come.
But I want to be there when it happens.
Of course. You
know, so it's gonna be, you know, insane to look at, but. Like I said, bro, I'm not going to waste, you know, much more of your time, bro, but I want to thank you very much for coming on to this podcast, you know.
This is my first podcast, too, you know.
Your first podcast ever?
Yeah, never been on a podcast.
Hey, bro, now you can say you've been on one.
Of course.
It's your first time, bro, but I want to thank you, you know. If you have any, you know, shout-outs, any, like, media handles you want to shout out, I always ask my guests that. If you got none, it's all good, but...
Shout out to this podcast, you know.
Keep to this podcast. Hey, I appreciate you, man. I really do. I'm going to keep on grinding, bro. You're going to see me at the top one day.
Of course.
Definitely will. But like I said, this is CJ Luna. You guys have been watching Game Day Gridiron, and I'll catch you on the next one. Peace out, y'all. I've been holding it down and I go it again and again. Who is the dummy that died? I'm the coldest around, but he falling again and again. I'm in the what? I'm in the day. I'm doing 30 on 30 and up. You in the what? You in the way. Either you rolling or rolling the dust. You with us or what? Keep it running. We did a lot for the wins. Came in a drop on the 10. Now we on top once again. Yeah. I had to tighten the plan. I got it right in the end. Now we on top once again. We did a lot for the wins. Oh, yeah.
Came in a drop on a 10. Now we on top, top once again. Yeah. I had to tighten the plan. I got it right in the end. Now we on 10.